Okay, so you're really diving into Bitcoin and crypto.
Looks like it.
I like your style. And you've sent over some really interesting articles and research on it too.
Yeah, it's a lot to dig through.
It's clear you don't just want an overview here. You want to understand the real potential impact of this tech.
Absolutely. And I think what's really interesting about the material you've shared is this underlying question. Can Bitcoin, or any cryptocurrency for that matter, truly be considered a real currency?
Right. It's not like we're walking around buying coffee with Bitcoin dot yet.
Not yet.
But one of the sources made a really interesting point about how Bitcoin actually fulfills the classic definition of currency, right?
Yeah.
It acts as a medium of exchange, a store of value, and a unit of account.
And this is where things get interesting, right? It's true that people are buying and selling goods and services with Bitcoin.
Right.
Its value fluctuates, but it does hold value.
Yeah.
And you can theoretically price things in Bitcoin just like dollars or euros. But the source also raises a really good point, right? Bitcoin operates in a very different way than traditional currencies, which, are often tied to government regulation and monetary policy.
Which is what makes that statistic about Visa partnering with over 50 crypto companies so fascinating.
Totally.
It feels like one foot in the door to mainstream acceptance, but then the source throws in this curveball about the cultural and human barriers to adoption.
Right. And that's a great point. Technological capability is one thing, but widespread behavioral change.
Yeah.
Completely different. Think about how ingrained our traditional payment methods are.
Totally.
Are people really ready to embrace a decentralized digital currency that operates outside the traditional financial system? I don't know.
Honestly, the volatility of Bitcoin alone is enough to make me hesitant,
Oh, yeah.
which is why I found that point about Bitcoin's potential as a store of value so interesting. The source even called it digital gold.
It's a comparison that comes up a lot, and for good reason. Unlike traditional currencies, where, governments can print more money at will,
Sure.
Bitcoin has a fixed supply, right?
Right.
Capped at 21 million coins.
Wow.
That inherent scarcity, coupled with its decentralized nature, makes it appealing to some investors as a hedge against inflation and economic uncertainty.
It's definitely a thought-provoking concept. If
Yeah.
more people start viewing Bitcoin as this finite, valuable asset,
Yeah.
who knows how high the demand, the price could go.
For sure.
But it also makes me wonder if that limited supply could actually hinder its practicality
Yeah.
as a currency for everyday transactions.
It's a fascinating paradox. On one hand, scarcity drives up value.
Right.
But on the other hand, if the price of a single Bitcoin becomes insanely high,
Yeah.
it's not practical for buying your morning coffee.
You'd need a whole new calculator just to figure out the change.
Yeah.
But that actually leads perfectly into the next big concept from our stack of sources, crypto tokens, right?
Tokens, yeah.
Unlike Bitcoin, these tokens aren't necessarily trying to replace national currencies.
Exactly, and that's a crucial distinction. While Bitcoin is often seen as a potential alternative to, fiat currency, the vast majority of these other 15,000 plus cryptocurrencies out there, they serve different purposes.
Okay.
Think of them more like digital assets with specific utility within a platform, a project, a community.
It almost reminds me of those loyalty points you get from credit cards or stores.
Right.
They have value within that specific ecosystem, but you can't use them to pay your rent.
Good analogy. Although crypto tokens offer a much wider range of functionality, some tokens, for example, grant holders voting rights in what are called decentralized autonomous organizations, or DAOs,
Yeah.
essentially giving them a say in how the project is run.
So instead of just buying a product or a service, you're buying into a whole decision-making process.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big difference from traditional business models.
Absolutely. And that's where this idea of tokenomics comes in.
Tokenomics, okay.
Think of it as the economic model behind a particular token, right? It dictates how the token is created, distributed, used, and ultimately how its value is determined.
So it's kind of like the DNA of a token,
In a way, yeah.
laying out all the rules and mechanics that govern its existence.
Right.
It's fascinating how much complexity there is beneath the surface of what we just call crypto.
Yeah, it's a whole new world, a whole new set of rules. And those rules are what determine a token's potential.
Which is why I'm sure everyone listening is dying to know more about those stablecoins our source kept hinting at. They made it sound like these could be a total game changer.
They very well could be. See, one of the biggest hurdles for cryptocurrencies going mainstream is, well, They tend to be a bit of a roller coaster when it comes to value.
Yeah, makes sense.
Stablecoins try to address that.
So no more refreshing my portfolio every 5 minutes, hoping it hasn't gone down the drain.
Exactly. Stablecoins aim to maintain a much more stable value, usually by pegging themselves to something like the US dollar or a basket of assets.
Okay, so instead of your digital coins doing the crypto conga line all over the charts,
right,
they're designed to hold a steadier value, more like the traditional currencies we're all used to. But the source also brought up this whole issue of trust. How do we know these stablecoins are actually as stable as they claim to be? It's not like they're backed by a government or anything.
That's the million-dollar question. And it gets right to what makes this whole space so interesting. Unlike a government-backed currency, most stablecoins are issued by private companies. So their stability depends entirely on that company's credibility and how transparent they are about their reserve holdings.
So it's like putting your faith in your money in the hands of a company instead of a government. Makes you realize how much we take for granted the role governments play in stabilizing currencies and regulating financial systems.
It really does. And it actually brings up a point the source made about Bitcoin that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
They mentioned that Bitcoin, unlike traditional currencies, has no asset backing it. And they even went so far as to compare it to the British pound. Yeah, it seemed like a weird comparison at first, but then the more I thought about it, the more it made sense.
Wait, how so? What backs the British pound if not something tangible?
That's the thing, right? It's not like there's a vault somewhere filled with gold bars guaranteeing every pound or dollar in circulation.
Right.
What gives these currencies value is essentially our collective belief in them.
Okay.
Economists call this fiat currency. Its value is based on faith and confidence people have in the issuing government and its ability to, you know, manage the economy.
So even our good old-fashioned currencies are riding on this intangible wave of trust. And Bitcoin comes along, operates on this decentralized network, no central authority, and suddenly everyone's questioning its legitimacy because it doesn't have a physical asset backing it up.
It is interesting, isn't it? Bitcoin's value, just like any other currency, is ultimately determined by supply and demand. But unlike fiat currencies, its supply is finite, those 21 million coins we talked about. And that's what leads some people to view it as a store of value, like digital gold, because it's immune to things like government manipulation or inflationary pressures.
So it's like two different systems of belief clashing. On one side, you've got the established world of fiat currencies backed by governments and central banks.
Right.
On the other side, you've got this decentralized algorithm-driven system with Bitcoin leading the charge.
Yeah.
Challenging our very understanding of what a currency can be.
And that's what makes it so fascinating to watch. We're witnessing a fundamental shift in how we think about money, value, the entire global financial system.
Mm.
But as with any major shift, there will be winners and losers and a lot of unknowns.
It's like watching a financial revolution in real time, which is why I'm always reminding myself and everyone listening, this isn't financial advice.
Absolutely. This is about exploration, understanding, and empowering ourselves to make informed decisions. Speaking of empowerment, there was one last point in these sources I thought was fascinating. It was about how individuals can actually have a say in the future of some of these cryptocurrencies, particularly with those governance tokens we talked about earlier.
The governance tokens, right.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are kind of like having voting rights in a company.
Exactly.
Except in this case, the company is this decentralized project.
It's a way for token holders to have a direct say in the governance of a project, you know, its development, even how its funds are managed.
So it's not just about, like, investing in a cryptocurrency. It's about potentially having a voice in its future. That's wild. We don't see that with traditional investments.
It's completely different. It's really at the heart of what makes this space so revolutionary. Instead of decisions being made behind closed doors by a select few, these governance tokens can give individuals a real stake in the decision making.
But with so many projects and tokens popping up, how do we even know which ones are worth our time? Like a jungle out there.
It really is. And that's why one of the most important pieces of advice and something that was in the materials you shared is to do your own research. Don't just take anyone's word for it. And yes, that includes us.
Right. The crypto.
Read those white papers, look into the tokenomics, really understand the team behind it all, think about its potential, you know, before investing anything.
Like we're all pioneers exploring new territory. Exciting, but you got to be careful out there.
Absolutely. And speaking of caution, the source made an interesting point about Bitcoin's governance. It kind of highlights the benefits and challenges of this whole decentralized thing. They mention how incredibly difficult, expensive even, it would be to change the underlying rules of Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's like they designed it to be tamper-proof.
Yeah.
But how does that even work? If there's no central authority, can't someone technical just waltz in and rewrite the code?
It's not that simple. Remember we talked about Bitcoin being a decentralized network? Thousands of computers around the world constantly verifying, adding transactions to the blockchain.
Yeah, okay, I remember.
To make any changes to Bitcoin's protocol, you would need to convince a majority of those computers, those nodes, to agree with the changes.
Okay.
It's called reaching consensus.
Consensus.
It's one of the core principles of blockchain tech.
So it's like trying to get thousands of people to agree on something, except those people are computers all over the place.
Exactly. Very difficult to coordinate something like that, which is intentional. It makes Bitcoin very resistant to manipulation.
Wow. Strength in numbers, except the strength is being decentralized.
I like that. And it gets to why so many people are excited about blockchain. It's a glimpse into a future where systems can be more transparent, more secure, resistant to any single entity trying to control it.
It's like building a new world from the ground up. And like any new world, there are going to be challenges.
Absolutely. But that's part of what makes this such an exciting time. We have the opportunity to be a part of something big to help shape the future of how we interact, transact in this digital age.
And on that note of exciting possibilities, we're going to leave you all with a final thought to chew on. Imagine you had the power to design your own cryptocurrency. What problem would it solve? What would make it special? How would you structure its tokenomics?
The possibilities are truly endless.
Well said. It's been a wild ride exploring the world of Bitcoin and beyond. We hope you've enjoyed diving deep with us into this fascinating, constantly evolving world. Until next time, keep those questions coming and keep exploring.